For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the heart of Atlanta, Georgia, and beyond, hour one of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. I am your lovable, huggable, mid-morning chat host, Eric Von Hessler. The other voices you hear are the doctrinaires. Man of a thousand voices, Tim Andrews. Lady of 184.7 characters.
There we go.
The always highly viscous co-host of this show, Autumn Fisher. The man behind the glass, George Clark. And the handsomest producer in all of producery on day three of his Grecian vacation with his lovely fiance. Bob English Nick would be in here more often this week with our friend Jared out. But that's okay. We have Toodle Pip every day of the week.
We don't do headlines anymore, so.
Well, I understand that, but I like having the...
Well, I got to do other things, don't I?
That's right. I know you're busy, English
Nick. I got the bowls.
You got the bowls you get to pull. You got the classic rock you have to play. There's probably a rock block. I don't know.
It's Pat Benatar's birthday. You can pick two songs, but you can't pick Pippi with the best show she'll play anymore.
Oh, that's right. That's a good... Pat Benatar says that because of the shootings and everything, she doesn't want to do Hit Me With Your Best Shot live anymore.
That's an excuse.
It's her biggest hit.
It's an excuse. She's sick of it.
Well, she may be sick of selling tickets to shows as well, because that's her biggest hit, as I recall. I think it's her biggest hit, and it was never about shooting.
No.
If anything, there was a little bit of a scandal, the way scandals used to be, like where people didn't lose their minds. But if there was any eyebrow raising when Hit Me With Your Best Shot came out, there was some idea of whether or not it was telling women they should acquiesce to husbands and boyfriends, domestic violence. No one ever thought it had anything to do with guns. But so she feels she doesn't want to play it anymore. It's her song. That's fine. What about classic rock stations? Are they following her lead?
Mm.
Or do they still play it? I mean, stupidity is a virus, so once she unleashed it, I'm sure it will spread.
Could you imagine
they always do.
A Gen Zer listening to the radio, and they hear that song, they would lose it.
There are so many levels of that scenario that you have to suspend disbelief to get through. But yes, if a Gen Zer was to be listening to radio and come across that song from 40 years ago, in fact, they would be outraged.
You know, how about Hell Is for Children? Will she still sing that one?
No, because she still hates children.
Yes.
That's a whole different thing.
She loves hell.
Yes.
Guns N' Roses have just changed their name to Roses.
Well, they stink anyway.
It's just Roses.
Yeah, Roses.
How about just overrated rock band?
Oh, I gotta disagree.
Oh, really? You think all their stuff? You big Chinese Democracy fan?
I love that.
Let's not go down that Let's not go down that rabbit hole. I know you're having a tough day today because you're a big baseball fan, which means that you and, you know, there's at least 1,000 other people in the country.
Yes.
Baseball being so popular.
Upset that the Yankees didn't get Juan Soto?
We are in a good baseball season here, so we have lots of baseball fans. But no, you were telling me the great Vin Scully.
Oh, yes.
I know, Autumn Fisher. I mean, the loss of Vin Scully. Do you have any idea who Vin Scully is, Autumn Fisher?
Well,
who knows nothing about any
baseball.
Sports? Yes. Okay.
So.
Harry Shearer. Think of him. He did his voice.
He was 94.
Wow.
Passed away. He was the voice of the Dodgers.
Before you had cable, before everyone had access to, you know, markets where, like the Braves on TBS.
Are you talking about the old days?
The old days.
Are you about to regale us with a different America that you once lived in?
We wore an onion on our belt.
Because
which was the style at the time?
We wore regular, Grandpa Simpson, we wore regular belts. Mine was rubber and it had paint splattered on it.
Yes.
Okay, so Vin Scully, Joe Garagiola, and Tony Kubek did the Game of the Week on NBC, and that was the only way to see other teams. if you didn't live in a big market.
That's right.
So that's how I grew up with Vince Scully. He would do a different game every week with those two.
And I knew Joe Garagiola from the game show circuit of
the 1970s.
Right.
His beautiful teeth.
For some reason, my mother was a fan of Joe Garagiola.
Yeah.
And so, I love a good Garagiola on a roll.
Who doesn't?
With some prosciutto.
Think about Garagiola. It's slow cooking.
Yeah.
That's the secret. You can't rush Garagiola.
Mm-mm.
It has to be simmered for hours.
And you have to have good kale in it, not the fully matured
kale. If you're looking for ideal
kale.
Peak massage. Garagiola, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Joe Garagiola. What team did he play for? By the time I was
Cardinals,
a kid, he was already out of baseball and he was into broadcasting already.
Yeah, I think he was a catcher, but I'm not sure.
So Vin Scully, 94 years old, passed away. I believe that he made the call because it was a game of the week, or was it because...
They may have been playing the Dodgers.
Who were the Braves? Somebody look this up. Who were the Braves playing when Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record? Because on the way in, I heard Vin Scully doing the call. We should try to pull that a little bit later. And I don't know if he was doing the call because they were playing the Dodgers or if he was doing the call because it was the game of the week.
Let's see. Looks like the Dodgers are pitching, so...
Well, there you go. So
there you go.
So he was part of that historic moment.
Right.
Problem with baseball is that it has so few fans out of the markets where it's popular. We happen to live in a baseball town.
Mm-hmm.
And so people in Atlanta might find it difficult to... or maybe just don't recognize this, not find it difficult, but just don't recognize that baseball has been having a fan problem for a number of years. We live in a baseball town, so that gets papered over. But it turns out there are only, I don't know, like 4 to 6 baseball towns in the country at most, and there are almost no casual fans to baseball, you know? Hey, you know what? There's a baseball game on.
Oh, let's go.
I'll go to it, or I'll sit down and I'll watch it. Baseball fans watch their favorite team, whereas something like NFL fans, if their team isn't playing, they're more than happy to sit down and watch two teams that aren't their favorite teams play the game.
Well, because they're betting on it, and they also have fantasy football, the whole thing.
I have a friend who's really into baseball, and he likes the people from Philly.
The Phillies?
So that would be the Phillies.
The Eagles? No.
No, the Eagles are the NFL team.
The Sixers.
That's right.
The Sixers would be the NBA team.
Flyers?
And the Flyers would be the NHL team.
What's
and
their
the
hockey
Phillies,
team called?
The
soccer team. What's
the soccer team is probably the Bon Jovis.
Yes.
Okay. But, my point is that when he watches baseball, he has his TV on baseball and he has his laptop open and he's looking on his phone at all of these different things that are going on with that game.
Yeah, well, he's really into it. And the hard thing is to stay a fan like that because there are so many games. So there are 162.
Well, that's why his wife complained.
162. Yeah, there's no way you can be a good... I'm not saying anything about your friend.
Yeah.
But if your friend is doing this 162 times a year, it's not possible that your friend is a good husband.
Mm-hmm. I know,
it's
and
not
he loves
possible.
Basketball, and he loves the so Eagle, he loves
well,
football,
she knew
so
this.
He's just...
She's
doing. He's doing fantasy sports.
He's doing fantasy, he's gambling.
Probably.
He's got a lot to monitor.
I get a way to get away from this woman I married. I win all these contests.
Oh, that's right. He can say, listen, we're bringing in extra money from this.
Yeah.
That's right. He's bringing home the bacon.
So I don't have to stop doing this and start listening to you and finding out what your wants and needs are. Who cares?
That's right. She counters that with, you know.
Real Housewives
when they were
of
early
everywhere.
Married, she made him go see Twilight, you know.
Okay. Well, he's covered for 30 years.
Yeah.
Why a grown man would be sitting in a theater watching Twilight without
the wife wants to go.
Without small children near him, I can understand being a good dad and taking your children.
Well, it's Kristen Stewart. She's so hot.
If my wife had said to me, you have to go see Twilight with me, I would have presented her with divorce papers.
Here you go.
But that's the way I handle things. There's certain things I'm going to
do. Is that your prenup?
Certain things I'm not going to do. Yeah, I had her sign a prenup when I had 17 cents in my pocket.
It wasn't about money.
When
it was
we got
about
together.
Things like this, making you go to stupid movies.
Well, no one can make you do anything. As long as you're willing to put up with the guilt trip that your wife's going to throw at you, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, if it's a trade-off, you have to decide what bothers you the least.
If you don't mind your kids being disappointed with you, you don't have to go do anything. It's all a matter of how much it affects you, you know?
Well,
what were you saying, Autumn? You started to say
you're right. I guess you're right.
That's how I raised my kids. There's certain things that mom does, and that would what's covered but mom does is movies that dad doesn't want to see, amusement parks that dad doesn't want to visit.
Most things.
Whole lot of things. Now, if it's your birthday, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a Chuck
E. Cheese. Really thing,
I'll make an appearance.
It's not things that you won't do. It's easier just to write the things you will do.
The things that I will do. Hey, you want to hang out at the house? I'm always
in. I'm going to talk at you for a long time about outer space and the Beatles.
I'm always in if you want to hang out at the house. Dad, you won't be able to get away from dad if, as a child, what you're really into is hanging out at the house.
Yep.
I'm always there. They're the ones who are just, oh, we got to go here, we got to go there.
Ugh, it's their fault.
I used to look at my kids and say, you know, don't you, you know, there are, as the Zen people say, you know, you don't have to leave your own garden to see the whole world.
What?
So, because I was more enlightened than my children, I don't think that should be held against me. I don't think I should be, just because I know that I don't have to go ride every new roller coaster.
But wouldn't it be great if you did? Think of the experience.
Yeah, I think now about all the stuff that I didn't do.
Do you regret any of it?
Yeah, minutes at a time.
You could have gone to Disney World once.
Never been to Disney World. My children have been many times.
Right, one time you could have gone.
I've never been to Europe, but my children have been many times. What?
You could have looked at their faces and seen how excited they were.
I know what they look like. I can imagine it. I've seen their face enough that I can just imagine them enjoying being on an amusement park ride. They're happy. I'm happy. It's a win-win. Where's Jared Yamamoto?
Greece.
Oh, he's in Greece.
Yes.
That's not in this country, right?
No, it's in Europe.
So he's not going to be back. I'm not going to see him until Monday?
Not until Monday.
You think he's listening?
No.
Oh.
I don't.
Just played that Roger Waters commercial coming to town on August 20th. And I don't usually want to do interviews with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how that show's selling at this moment. But I would love to do an interview with Roger Waters. I would love to do an interview because there's a lot that I agree with in his message. And there's some that I disagree with, but I would love to talk to him about that and the music and everything else. So if anybody out there is listening that can make that happen,
does he do that?
Producer has decided. Yeah, he does interviews. And, you know, look, it's a very provocative political show that he does. And so I think he's more than willing to engage in it and talk about it. And like I say, there's a lot. The one thing that if you go to this show, and I'm going to go, I've been watching clips done from smartphones on YouTube, and it looks awesome. Obviously, the music's great. He's 78, but he seems to have his voice and unlike a lot of these other aging rock stars, he seems to be very good at managing his aging body. It seems like he knows how to kind of hold back on the energy so that when he needs the voice to really shine, it can, and then pull back down. But visually, it just looks like a knockout. And politically, you know, it's a pretty big, heavy-duty message that he has. And I agree probably with about 60 to 70% of it. And what I really, really do appreciate, though, I think sometimes when it gets to blame, there's two places where Roger Waters, I think sometimes his blame is a little bit simple. Sometimes.
Mm.
And I think also his cynicism, and maybe it's not cynicism because he's just realizing, like I am, that every politician is full of you know what. So I'm not cynical for saying that. The politicians are cynical for acting like that, right?
Yeah.
So he's recognizing the way that politicians are, but I feel like he has too much faith still in the bullhorn street movement stuff. I see the same thing that he sees as far as power dynamics go with leaders in countries. I see the same stuff playing out in street movements. So I think in a strange way, he's not quite cynical enough. But his message, the main thing about his message and the thing that I appreciate, even if I disagree with this or that, is that he's always spotlighting the innocent people every year on the planet by the thousands who are murdered, slaughtered in countries all over, and the fault of every country, big and small pretty much, because of leadership, the ideals of leadership. And this goes to the diplomatic corps, goes to NATO, it goes to Putin, it goes everywhere. There's these Machiavellian ideas that, well, this is the best thing for the future of the planet, and don't be a baby. A few people need to die. Roger Waters always puts the spotlight on those people because they were here last year. They're here this year. Those that are alive today will be dead next year because some leader, some diplomats will decide that this war needs to happen because it's the best thing for X, Y, and Z. And don't be a softy. Yes, some innocents will have to die. Roger Waters, even though I don't agree with his whole message, I am attracted to the idea that he's always putting the spotlight. And these people are not talked about, hardly ever. It's always ideas. It's always political ideas. But I would love to talk to Roger Waters because I think that he makes a simple mistake in the end, which is to blame it on capitalism. Well, obviously, if you look at socialism or communism, and I've come to the point of view to realize it's not really, those are just ideas. The problem is human beings. We seem to have a love for war.
And controlling other people.
Controlling other people, controlling, you know. And also that we are obviously in our DNA somewhere, we are tribal. And because we are tribal, it is very easy for those that pull the puppet strings to get us really, really animated about how we have to go to war. But we don't really think about, and when we do that, we think, well, some people who are probably good people are going to die, but that's the way that it's going to be. You know, it's very easy because if you look at how, I've said this before, this Ukraine thing is a great example of how easy it is to convince people that going to war is the right thing to do. I've said this before. You could have been elected in 2020 from any party simply by saying no more forever wars. People were exhausted. People were so tired of it since 2001 being in war. People didn't like the way we got out of Afghanistan, but they did like the fact that we did get out of Afghanistan. And after that 20-year run in Afghanistan, everybody's like, oh, finally we're out of these wars. And it took, what, less than 6 months? Not only to get back involved in another war, but to get everybody just like frothing at the mouth. We have to do this in the name of ... We have to go kill these people. And that to me is the more interesting thing. And that's where Roger Waters kind of goes wrong for me, is blaming it on this ism or that ism.
Well, you know, to your point though, every war before Ukraine, everyone criticized. Why are we here? Why are we there? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Why are we killing people? But Ukraine is the first war that in my lifetime where all the hippies, like you've said before, are like, we have to do this.
They figured it out.
It's important. We have to do this.
The people who want to convince us that we always have to be at war in order to preserve some sort of peace, which is, you know, bizarre. Now they've finally really done it. They figured out a way through social media and that kind of way that this is the first kind of war that was sold on social media, I feel like.
Yeah.
And so because you got the people that are convinced they're on the right side of history, most dangerous concept ever in the world, by the way, to walk around convinced that you're on the right side of history. That gives you some license to do just about anything that you want to do. But by getting that social media crowd to jump in on this, and want this war because you've created the bad guy that the hippies want to think is a bad guy. Well, now they've done the turnkey, right? I mean, now they figured it out. If they figured out how to get hippies in favor of war, we may never have a peace ever again.
Do not check a bag.
All right, Clark.
Man.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Do not check a bag.
Clark, okay, I get it.
Don't do it.
Okay.
He's watching you.
He means what he says. He says what he means.
Don't do it.
All right.
He doesn't mince words, Eric.
Do not check a bag.
He's talking to you, Autumn.
All right. I need...
What?
Yeah. Ouch. Sorry, Clark.
I didn't know he could sing.
Don't do it.
What was I talking? Oh, you know what?
Hey, what'd you
mean? Well, you get Clark Howard screaming at you.
Hey, don't do it. Don't check a bag.
Apologize.
No joke.
What if I need to, though? Like, I got a lot of stuff.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
And I'm going there for 2 weeks.
Do not check a bag.
He's very angry when he says that, doesn't he?
Well,
I want to bring more than 3 ounces of a liquid.
I feel like Clark, this is like he was having some sort of argument with his wife. And it's creeping into.
Do not check a bag.
There's a little more anger there than necessary just to advise people on how to travel.
What if you're on a bus?
Don't do it.
Okay.
Don't let your sister stay here for the week.
Do not check a bag.
You get a little insight there. You know, Clark is such a nice guy, but obviously from time to time he gets angry. Mm. You know, when the kids were growing up, at some point, they heard that. At some point when they wouldn't stop doing whatever it is kids won't stop doing, this is Dad Clark that they heard.
Do not check a bag.
Honey, I'm thinking of paying retail for a pair of shorts for you.
Don't do it.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of hot.
It'd be funny to find out that Clark was just like an authoritarian, like a totalitarian.
Yeah.
Ran the house.
Daddy Clark, I'm gonna pack a bag and I'm gonna check it.
Do not check a bag.
Don't do it. I'm going to.
Don't do it.
Oh, I'm so naughty.
We don't have any more clips to
checking a bag.
I thought that'd be a great place to start that segment, but where the hell do you go from there?
I don't know.
We've just exposed Clark Howard as a homicidal maniac.
Do not check a bag.
Has he ever
you
had it?
Piece of crap.
I have to say, Clark has never, ever spoken to me with that kind of.
He's always so nice. Yeah. Smile on his face.
Yeah, I like it.
I just flew last week. I didn't check a bag.
Why not?
Because Clark told him not. He knew Clark's vitriol.
I was going to have to come back to work here and face Clark Howard.
Look Clark in the eye.
No, when I traveled,
like, I know you checked a bag.
Last week when I traveled,
I can smell it.
I travel so light that I will buy everything I need on the other end. If I need deodorant, if I need toothpaste, if I need a toothbrush, I buy that on the other end and then I leave it there. This is on the way. I realized leaving the hotel. Going to the airport, I realized that I didn't have any deodorant because I deodorized before the flight the day before. And so I stopped at a store on the way to the airport, bought deodorant, did my underarms, threw the deodorant into the trash by the pumps.
Wow.
And went to the airport.
What a waste of money.
I'm not going to be stopped by anybody. If you're at TSA, to stop me, you would just have to be the biggest jerk in the world. This guy's got nothing. I had one pair of jeans, a shirt, some socks, and one pair of underwear. That was it in my bag didn't check. Yes?
You turned the underwear inside out?
I was only there for one day. I had my underwear on that morning, and I had a pair of underwear for the next day.
Gotcha.
Because I don't want to be stinky guy sitting next to you. I care about the person next to me, so I will make sure. I mean, I don't even know the person sitting next to me. I stopped, spent $5 at a 7-Eleven for a small thing of deodorant and threw it out just because I was thinking about that person. I do care.
I don't think Clark would advise you to do that. You're wasting money on deodorant.
That may be true, but I don't want TSA because I can't remember which size toothpaste and which size deodorant is okay and which size is not. I try to go through an airport like a ghost. Like, where nothing will pick me up. There's almost no evidence that I flew last week. It was just me, straight on, straight off, get out of there. I don't understand people who show up with eight, you know, the people have the luggage, they got to put it on those cart things, and I'm bringing my whole video thing. What? Get in and get out. Slide through. So
I bring
on that,
my refrigerator.
Yeah.
I mean, food that's in there.
I would never fly. If you had to put all my luggage on a cart, I just wouldn't be flying.
What if you're going out of the country for like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You're
going to
need that.
They don't
luggage.
Have stores. They don't have pants in France.
Are there no workhouses?
Yeah. Are there no workhouses?
No, not every major city in Europe has a like a Myrtle Beach shop where you can go in and buy jams and a t-shirt.
Well, I mean,
yeah, or like tall guy clothes.
Yeah.
Well, I'll
find
something.
Everyone in France is small.
Oh, yeah, France doesn't
have... You are too tall.
France doesn't have my petite sizes.
No, we have the shirt for
walk
you.
Walk around looking,
shirt.
Looking like an angry Hulk.
You can wear this strap shirt. It is a crop top for you because you are too tall.
We were talking about...
Roger Waters.
Roger Waters and war and people who get slaughtered for no good reason and how easy it is to convince you that, yeah, we got to be killing people somewhere all the time in the name of peace, as we are in Eastern Europe right now. Saw this story. I got to say, when it comes to Ukraine, I'm really coming... I'm getting comfortable with myself on this, which is, it may upset people because it goes against the grain, but it's just never resonated with me. The whole cause in Ukraine and us being there and us spending all that money and what NATO wants, it just doesn't resonate with me. Now, am I out there with a bullhorn? You know, is this show going to become a cudgel that I use to beat you over the head? We got to get out of Ukraine? No. But I'm comfortable with the fact that for me, the justifications for all of this just don't resonate with me. And I ask questions that no one else is asking. So, you know, we do these sanctions on oligarchs from Russia and people close to Putin. And nobody ever asked the question, does that work? Is there any chance if we take this guy's yacht in the Mediterranean that that will somehow end the war in Ukraine? The answer obviously is no. So take the next step. It must be some other reason. Maybe we want their yacht.
I think that's it.
There's nobody. Get the Pentagon spokesman that tells me, no, there is X number of yachts taken from X number of oligarchs, which equals end of war.
And do they sell them and give the money to Ukraine?
I don't know what they do. My understanding is the maintenance is pretty high on them once you have them. So it might cost you money to have them. But people just go walk blindly along. I don't get why we have the right to do that. When I see these stories... Oh, we took a yacht away from a guy in the Mediterranean and now it belongs to us because we have sanctions. All right, I get it. We've got guns. The owner of the yacht doesn't. That's why it happens. But I'm sorry that I have a brain that asks a follow-up question. Where do we get that right? Because there's no way you can prove to me that if we take this yacht, it will end the war. So if that doesn't happen, then I'm not buying that. There must be some other reason. Now we're sanctioning Putin's reputed girlfriend. This is not his wife.
Right, it's
this
his
is
lover.
The lover that he keeps having children with.
His paramour.
Alina Maritovna Kabayeva, you know. Mm. Romantically linked to the Russian leader, was sanctioned for being or having been a leader, official, senior executive officer, or member of the board of directors of the government of the Russian Federation. She slept with Putin. We can't really put that in. I guess that's really the reason.
I get to give her a title.
So again, it doesn't resonate with me. Is there any thinking that is logical that says going after this woman because she sleeps with Putin will somehow bring the war to an end quicker? It is not possible to logically get to yes from that. And for me, I just don't get it. It doesn't resonate with me. It doesn't resonate with me that, oh, well, obviously NATO has the right to decide what the planet's going to look like.
Certainly Eastern Europe.
I mean, but we're all moving forward from that premise, right? Otherwise, we couldn't all just move forward and take things for granted. But I guess, just obviously, the United States and NATO have the right to confiscate property from private citizens of other countries because we don't like what the government's doing. It's as idiotic as Russian tennis players weren't allowed to play at Wimbledon because most of us believe that it is the tennis players in Russia that have the most influence on foreign policy.
Oh, absolutely.
Lots of power.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Oh, so you mean, this is going to do absolutely nothing to get to the end game. So it's all signifying, pomp, circumstance.
Virtue signaling.
Virtue signaling to a certain degree. Because we know every tennis player who's ever played at Wimbledon is a saint.
We know what they think politically, too.
Absolutely.
John McEnroe is very pro-Western.
If you're going to have a war, first you have to justify it properly, and then you have to tell me why every single move that you make is about winning that war quicker. Somebody tell me how taking a yacht from it, and we get all high and mighty about it. Oh, these rich people are skimming off the backs of the poor Russian. Yeah, those aren't people that our government should be concerned with. There's nothing in our American Constitution that says our foreign policy should be judged in any way, shape, form, or fashion based on the fact that we don't think that the people of another country are being represented properly by their leaders.
Could Russia do that? Maybe they could sanction Hunter Biden and take his yacht.
They'll just take his crack.
Right.
All I ask people is every once in a while, just ask yourself a question about the premise. The premise is that we're so obviously right that we have the right to confiscate private property from other people around the world. Is that the 11th commandment tucked in after the 10th nobody looked at? Is there a manifest? Where does this come from?
And have we done
it doesn't resonate with me.
Have we done it to anyone other than Russians?
I think we have. We do the sanctions game.
Sanctions, yes, but stealing property, I don't know. Like, we're not going to seize a Chinese boat.
Well, this has been a thing. This has been a thing mostly with Russia over the last few years. But I assume that these, the a-holes in our diplomatic corps, we have the worst diplomats. We have the worst. I'm sure there are an awful lot of great people at the field level in the CIA and the FBI, but the worst leadership possible in these areas. And nobody thinks to ask questions anymore. Here's a good question. Where the F did COVID come from? I'm stunned that no one seems interested in the answer to that question. This thing, what, killed 4 million people on the planet in 2 years? Nobody seems to care where it came from, but we all really, really have been convinced that we need to care about the boundaries of Ukraine in Eastern Europe. Seems odd to me. I'm sorry to ask the question, but by what authority do we take yachts away from private citizens of other countries?
They don't believe in democracy. Come on.
Is that it?
Yeah.
So we can
take... They don't believe in democracy. No joke. I mean, we need these boats.
Yeah. And then the idea is that these oligarchs, because they're close to Putin, if we make them uncomfortable, they'll convince Putin to leave Ukraine. Like, they'll be like, hey, man, they took my yacht.
You guys, you better pull out because I would like my boat back.
Yeah. You think Putin is going to say, okay, all right, that's one yacht too many.
Yeah, too many yachts.
Yeah, bring the boys back home. And since we all know that will never happen, the next question has to be, okay, then why are we doing these things? Why are we doing these things that will have no effect whatsoever on the war? And we have, we're just so full of bluster about everything. You know, Pelosi in China. Pelosi in Taiwan. You finally out of there, right? Everything went all right?
I left. I'm gone. Hello. Goodbye.
Standing up for... And everybody...
Sorry. I didn't mean to cause such a kerfuffle.
Everybody is, yes, we have to... And I believe in Taiwan. I said, it's just I believe in the Taiwanese dream. But are we really... I mean, the idea seems to be that we need to really, really let China know that we will go to war with them over Taiwan. But would we?
I don't think so.
For the American people, anything that lasts more than 3.5 weeks.
Well, what are we going to fight them with? We don't have an army. We don't have any people in the military.
Well, we could get something going, but we're still already in Eastern Europe. By the way, guess what happened with NATO? The forces that have hated each other for a billion years in what used to be Yugoslavia. NATO's distracted. So now we're starting to have some things perk back up in Serbia and Bosnia. I mentioned this yesterday. Even if you're good at spinning a bunch of plates at a circus, you have to know when it's one pole and one plate too many. At this point with the foreign policy, we've got a lot of words, but I don't know if we can back it up. I don't know if the American people are willing to go to war for 2 years with China over Taiwan, but everybody believes we should say that we are. Hour two of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. Tie a bow on that last thing that I said there. Again, I believe in the Taiwanese dream, but I'm just asking you, when we all agree yes, we should stand up and we should let them know that we're going to, we'll fight with Taiwan. We should let them know that. And when I say, when I ask the question, but are we really in that position? I'm asking you, every one of you who knee-jerk said, yes, absolutely, we'd be there for Taiwan. Now the second question, are you willing to send your children or grandchildren to fight and die in or for Taiwan? That's the real question. It's easy to stand up all over the world and say, we want the boundaries of this country in Eastern Europe to be this, and we want to keep what's going on between the Serbs and the Bosnians, we want that, and we want everyone in China to know that we'll be there for Taiwan. But if the rubber meets the road, now it's beyond your own initial knee-jerk reaction, which is, yes, we believe in freedom. Are you willing to back that up with the lives of your children or grandchildren? Because this is my new epiphany at the age of 58. For the rest of my life, I no longer support wars that I'm not willing to send my children or grandchildren. Now, then it's their decision. I'm not saying I have control over them. I'm saying in my heart of hearts, do I think this is worth the lives of children and grandchildren? And I'll tell you where I am at the age of 58 is I support no war that I am not willing to say it would be okay with me if my children and grandchildren went and fought. Although I think most people listening to me knee-jerk reacted, yes, Taiwan's free, China is communist, certainly we'd be there. I don't believe you until you take the next step and say, I'm willing to send my children and grandchildren to fight there. Because that second part, I don't think that's there. I think there's a lot of bluster. And I'm not going to repeat myself day in and day out because I'm always telling the truth and I'm predicting the future properly. So you have to go to one of the downloaded shows. I think it was yesterday or the day before when I laid out exactly what was going to go on nationally leading up to November with this Music Midtown story. But I will point out Washington Post already. Don't know how often the Washington Post have covered Music Midtowns in the past. Here's your headline. Atlanta's canceled Music Midtown Festival puts lax gun laws under scrutiny. You see, you can never call me a conspiracy theorist because I always actually predict the future and predict it correctly because I'm always just looking at the power dynamics, which is all that ever really matters in these situations. Mm. But you know what? We've had a pretty heavy first hour. That's my fault. Let's kick off our shoes, have a little fun, and do this. Oh, it's Tootle Pip. I'm sorry. He didn't know there was Tootle Pip in
it. English Nick with Tootle Pip.
There she is.
Here we go.
Tootle Pip.
That's my fault, George. We didn't tell you.
We just did it live.
You have it? Well, people want the real thing. It doesn't count with the FCC unless we open the segment properly.
It's English Nick with Tootle Pip.
Tootle Pip.
There he is.
That was actually recorded on a ride back from Conyers one Sunday afternoon, I believe.
Who the hell cares?
Just saying. That's why you can hear that road rumble in the background.
Is there road rumble?
Yeah, you hear
Let me listen again.
Yeah, you'll hear it.
You got more rhymes, so you're... Hold on, stop one second. What road do you say that is?
On the way, on 20, coming 20. Back from Conyers.
I knew it was... you can tell. Listen, this has got a definite...
That's a Georgia road right there.
English Nick with Tootle Pip.
There you go. Tootle Pip.
Georgia's roads were just named on top 10 roads.
So they're some of the best. Yeah.
Hey, hold on. We don't have Jared's nonsense this week.
So you want to keep it that way?
Let's keep it just for
He's
1 week.
On a boat
you can
somewhere.
Hear the people passing him without using their turn signal going twice the speed limit.
That's the Georgia.
That's how you know it's 20.
I don't know. 400 is pretty bad. The hospitality highway.
The Autobahn.
I have never
How about
ever,
75?
I have
that
never.
One's tough
hold
too.
On. I have never experienced hospitality on 400.
Never?
The hospitality.
There's always a guy
highway.
Handing out hot towels when you're in traffic.
Can I get you something to drink?
No one's trying to wash your windows.
Oh.
Sell you water.
I think it's Brian.
What do you do about that?
About
There's
what?
Nothing that can be done. The whole I'm going to sell you water at a stoplight kind of thing.
You can arrest people and tell them not to come back.
Didn't they ban it?
You'd have to have.
Wow.
You'd have to.
Didn't they ban the selling of bottled water at stoplights now?
Is it banned?
I thought it was.
Well, listen.
I don't know. George Shug just showed us. He doesn't know.
Gummies aren't. Oh, well, you know what? If you want a water, go get one. I'm not looking for.
Plus, who's carrying cash these days anyway?
Well, that's the whole game right there.
I'll take a card.
Yeah, they have Zelle.
Okay, if you'll take a card, go get a
cash
job.
Venmo.
Yeah.
Go get another job. Hey, go get a job at the Quickie Mart, and I'll buy water from you there. How about that?
Hey, my favorite homeless guy is the guy who, I guess he's homeless. He's got a shopping cart full of stuff.
Yeah.
He's even got a cell phone. He's down by the, he's at the Croke Street Tunnel, you know, the bridge there.
Yes.
And,
is he an artist? Bridge.
But when people don't give him money, he's got a little plastic water pistol. When he squirts.
Oh,
water.
No,
that's
violence.
That's assault.
That's violence.
I think it's
that's
funny.
Assault.
That's why.
What if you just don't have the money?
Well, I know he doesn't do it all the time, but I've seen him a couple of times.
Throw a handful
really
of nickels
hot
into the
hey,
road,
pal,
and make him pick them up.
Look, pal, I have enforced. I'm doing it the right way. You don't have the enforcement over me. Out of the two of us, I'm doing it the right way.
There's a lady that stands near the CVS that's in my little town, and somebody posted on the Nextdoor app about, like, what do you guys think? Like, do you think she's really pregnant? I'm afraid. I want to give her money. I feel bad, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody's like, yeah, she's been pregnant for 2 years.
Okay, well, that's going to be a very large child.
Hey, Ma. Yeah.
So she's putting on an act? Is she just fat? Or is she putting like a pillow in there?
Well, she's pregnant all the time.
I think on her board, she says that she's like, pregnant, I have two kids, can you help?
Yeah, look, listen, you got to change regions every 9 months if you do that scam, right?
You're going to afford a fat suit, you can afford to eat.
You got to go to another county every 9 months so that you can get a new audience.
That's like telling your boss you need a day off because your grandmother died, and then 6 months later, grandma died again.
How many grandmas
you have?
Yeah,
my parents were divorced a lot.
I've got a lot of grandparents, and they're all over 90, so just expect this to keep happening.
You know that Krog Tunnel? So you have unhoused guys shooting squirt guns at people.
Or plus, homeless.
Okay, that too. And then you have would-be influencers wanting to model next to the graffiti that's everywhere.
That's right.
And then there's nothing but propaganda there for politics.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it's young people and
it's all art.
Think the same thing.
Yeah, it's art.
Young artist, I think I could pretty much, you know what? Save that particular canvas. I know what you think. You're 24? You're an artist? You know what? Save your materials. I know what you think politically. What do you have, Tulipip-wise?
I have these really expensive Bruce Springsteen tickets. That's still going on.
This is the, what is that called? Dynamic pricing.
Yeah, so there's a New Jersey lawmaker. This is the State Assembly Speaker Craig Coughlin.
Yeah.
He says he's concerned about vendor pricing and fees. He also wants to make sure no consumer protection laws are being violated.
Joke.
Are you, Bruce?
I don't care about the working common man.
So you think it's okay for Ticketmaster to buy their own tickets and then resell them at an inflated price?
My understanding...
creating a false scarcity.
Never more than $4,000 a ticket.
Pretty much.
That's pretty fair.
I do a 3-hour show.
What do you think about the $200 tickets behind the stage?
Make them look at your butt.
It's a deal.
There's $200 tickets up behind where the stage
You've
is at the end.
Rarely seen
my butt.
A nicer 72-year-old ass.
You're a big fan of the hedge fund people who can afford those tickets?
Put them in the front row.
Yeah, meet and greet, right?
What's it going to take for you to figure out that I am completely full of stuff?
You know, somebody from his label said that people should be, like, he deserves this because he needs respect.
The real problem here, and Garth
Brooks... People want to pay it.
Garth Brooks, the problem is that people will pay $4,000 a ticket.
I know.
And Garth Brooks spoke to this. And basically, it's a matter of where the money is going to go. Dynamic pricing is something that it mimics what the scalping prices would be. So it ends up being that somebody is going to spend $4,000 because they're an idiot with a lot of money to go see Bruce Springsteen. And the question is, who's going to get that money? The band, the production, or the scalper? So that's why it's there. But now people are saying, like you just mentioned, that the algorithm is being messed with to create low demand that would send the price up, right?
High demand.
For some reason, when the Atlanta tickets went on sale...
I mean, yeah, high demand, but low amount of tickets for the demand.
Some people were logging on the last Wednesday when they went on sale for Atlanta.
Yeah.
And some seats were showing up at $110,000, $82,000.
Deal.
What the hell is going on?
It's a deal.
Do they want to kill the concert industry altogether?
You pay $110,000, I'll play 3 hours and 5 minutes. I'll bore the hell out of you.
They didn't sell for that, obviously, but yeah.
The humor, the topics.
He doesn't always talk about politics.
The Von Hessler Doctrine, sponsored by Reliable Heating and Air on 95.5 WSB.
Man, the NFL officially has made so much money, produced so many billions of dollars, that they've completely lost the thread. With the Deshaun Watson slap on the wrist, the whole Tom Brady thing. We'll get to those things later, but I see here that Peyton Manning is going to host the 2022 CMA Awards.
With Eli, Luke Bryan. I love me some Luke Bryan. Eli. Yeah. Garth.
Eli's not on the show.
I got friends in low places.
We'll get to the rest of the end. I mean, this is the Deshaun Watson thing. Makes no sense.
What's it, six games?
Yeah, just six games.
Six games.
Is he getting paid too?
No. He's no fine. He loses almost no money the right. way that the contract is structured. Yeah. But even within that, six games, even when that structure is even less, no fine. But there's a whole other thing where the Miami Dolphins owner is getting in trouble for they're losing draft picks. $1.5 million fine, Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, for tampering by having meetings with Tom Brady when he was on the Patriots and when he was on the Bucks. But Tom Brady doesn't get in any trouble whatsoever for having these meetings. The NFL has officially produced so many billions of dollars that they have completely lost the thread.
Don't talk about Josh Allen getting in a fight with the defensive lineman last week.
Hey, that was a great moment.
That was it at training camp?
Yeah. Why is that great?
Because I like to see it because the guy gave him a chip. Okay. Hey, you don't mess with Josh Allen.
I understand.
You gave him a chip? What
kind
of chip?
Let's be consistent.
He gave him a chip as he's coming through. He just started, boom, he bumped into him when it wasn't necessary. Allen just turned around and said, hey, by the way, if I get hurt, you all make less money.
There you go.
So back off.
Don't forget, it's Eric's third son, Josh Allen.
You know, we have a six-foot life-size Josh Allen at the house.
You cut a hole out of the mouth.
Not yet.
Yeah, what's that up
we
to?
We put that up high in the living room, and we refer to he who towers above us all. You got another tootle pip?
I do, yes.
I'm sure he'll either let us down or...
Will you punch it if they don't do well?
Well, that's what we're going to do. For the games, when he does well, we're there to dap him up. And when he does something stupid, we're there to yell at him right in his face. What were you thinking?
Did you ever tap him on the butt?
I'm sure it's going to be.
Use that hole.
It's going to be horrible, right? As a Bills fan? Like, when's the last time that any team that was the odds, like everybody said they were going to win the Super Bowl, actually wins the Super Bowl? Probably not very often.
Unless Brady was leading the team.
Unless Brady, maybe.
Chris Brown is defending some intimate photos with fans. They were taken during meet and greets.
Excuse me. Chris Young Brown, lady, we are not part of the cancel culture. We do the stories. We don't turn away from the stories. This guy, yes, he should have been. Out of all cancel culture things, how this guy squeezed through. He must have been right at the very beginning of it, right?
He was before cancel culture.
He was way before.
Yeah, he got a pass because...
Yeah, he beat up on Rihanna, didn't he?
Yeah.
Not just...
She was really, 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 really battered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she couldn't be at the... But somehow, all of these people who get outraged about everything are like, yeah, well, I like his music, so what? Shut up. And they just go.
He does meet and greets like all the other artists, and there's some pictures of ladies.
You get a gazillion extra dollars.
In suggestive positions.
By the way, if you're spending money to meet somebody...
You're not a VIP.
Look in the mirror. Yeah, VIP, that has been watered down. Yeah. VIP used to mean in case, right? Yeah. So like, let's say like you're doing a let's say it's when VIP mattered. Let's go back to like 1976, right? A VIP was there as a possibility in case, hey, you know what? Johnny Carson showed up. Get him in back here where
the Beatles showed up.
Yeah, Ringo's here. Okay, let's put him in the back. VIP. But now VIP has been turned into business class. It's been turned into just sort of an upgrade.
Yeah.
But very important person is not something that you can buy a ticket for. You have to be a very important person. So now it's just completely watered down. So you're buying something that isn't real because you don't suddenly become very important. You just have a little money you can put in somebody's hand.
And get close to your favorite rockers.
I gotta tell you, I think it's disgusting. I think it's disgusting that any celebrity charges money for a picture.
I think
for a moment to speak to them. I find that to be, now we're burying the lead here. He's doing provocative, erotic,
it's just girls,
suggestive.
Yeah, girls are having fun with him backstage. Nothing
are they nude.
He's not. No.
No, but they're problem? Like bending over, and he's like,
But he was like,
riding the pony.
He was just, he went on to say he really appreciates his fans, and he does all he can to make the experience
especially
great.
Especially if they give money.
Yeah.
If you give money, I appreciate those fans even
but
more.
But don't piss him off.
Yeah, because he has a temper. Changed.
I might be wrong, but I think Gene Simmons and Kiss were the first band to start doing meet and greets for money.
My favorite was Rush. People would do the meet and greets, and Neil Peart would never come.
He would never do it. I've met them twice. He was never there.
I can't pretend a stranger is a long-awaited friend. Yep. He meant it when he wrote it.
Do you know, he never took a bow with the band until the very last show they played in Los Angeles. At the forum.
He was so damn tired back there.
He was just like, it just felt right on that night.
I only saw Rush live in 82 or something. It was a long time ago. But I watched one of their like 2000 shows, like maybe from 2012 or something. And I watched the whole thing. And just watching Neil Peart exhausted me. I don't understand how drummers don't all look like the Hulk. How can you use your arms? This guy was doing way too much work. Out of the three people on stage for Rush. I don't know how the guy didn't have a heart attack.
Getty was working pretty hard, too, playing two instruments. Vocals.
And then he's got to keep his nads all bound up so his so his vocal can hit that. So according to Pro Football Talk, that's an NBC outfit, I believe. National Organization for Women blast NFL for Deshaun Watson suspension. So there's a little bit of pushback here. Now, this Deshaun Watson story not covered hardly at all. It's covered very heavily in sports media and with a lot of, you know, moral judgment in sports media, but just never found legs in the wider national media. But this, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, I think ultimately ended up being 27 women who were masseuses complained that he was sexually suggestive, tried to get them to go on and do things they didn't want to do. And this has been going on for like a year and a half now. And so this convoluted system, and I'll explain the system in a minute, of how, why this has gone on so long. It comes down 6-game suspension. And meanwhile, he was given the most lucrative contract in the 100-year history of the NFL while he was waiting to see what happens. Now the slap on the wrist, and it's convoluted to get through the whole thing. So before we do that, guess who wants to join us for a little while? And I feel like I can't bring him in without having some sort of imager or sounder. So let's do this.
He's a misanthrope. He has a dark heart, and he needs a good psychiatrist.
New York, New York.
It's Greg Russ with stories from Studio B1.
Greg Russ, have you followed this Deshaun Watson story at all? By the way, did played his high school ball in Gainesville, I believe, Georgia. So somewhat of a kind of a local-ish personality story. Greg, are you following this at all?
I haven't been following it too closely. It's one of these things that tires me. But the commentary that you have, it is an insane thing overall.
That he only got 6, or the entire story itself?
The entire story, with all the allegations, the amount of money that was given to them, the way it continues to play out, just absolutely insane.
So the NFL, so you've got 27 or so women all in all that in some way brought charges against him, civil, criminal, whatever. He beat the criminal stuff months ago, but there were still, like, I think 24 civil lawsuits. I believe at this point he has settled with over 20 of them. NDAs, money, you know, kind of go away. But still, there's the thing about the league, and the league has the right to say, hey, this doesn't look good. And there was a thought that the NFL wanted an entire year suspension. As a matter of fact, the Cleveland Browns, when they paid him the most money for any player ever in the history of the league, they made sure that the first year was like almost nothing, less than $1 million. So that if he lost a year, he would lose very little of his compensation in the contract. So now they come back. I believe today is the last day the NFL has to appeal the 6-game suspension. And I'll explain that in a second. And they're just looking out to see, well, does this have legs? The way that I'm looking around, it still is not sparking national media interest really at all. So my guess is maybe the NFL is going to lay back and just let's get through this. Let's get through it. So this is the weird, do you know how this works, Greg? I know Autumn doesn't because she doesn't care about sports. I don't know about Tim, but this is a new system for this kind of deal in the NFL. That's never been done before as a result of the last CBA that was signed between the players and the league. So when a situation like this comes up where a player, it's possible that they could be suspended or lose money or be taken off the field because of off-field behavior, they have this new system. So they have a retired judge. I can't remember her name. First name is Sue or something.
Judge Judy.
Judge Sue. Judge Sure. Sue something, I think. And she's a retired federal judge that both the players' union and the NFL agreed upon. The NFL only took 5 of these cases to her. So in her world, she's only looking at 5 cases, not the 27, not the over 60 different female massage therapists that he found on Instagram over an 18-month period. When, let's remember, there's probably a great masseuse right there in the facility. Mm-hmm. It's the NFL.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that.
I think it was Washington Post or New York Times. One of them basically just laid out predatory behavior over an 18-month period. But she was only looking at 5 of them. So this is how this works. She looks at the cases. She comes back. She gives her ruling. Now, after that ruling, and I think this is the third day, the NFL has 3 days to appeal that ruling. Now, that would be the commissioner, Roger Goodell, would be the one who would decide, we're going to appeal this. We think that there should be more of a punishment than 6 games. But the weird thing is, if Roger Goodell appeals, the judge that he appeals to is Roger Goodell. So it's a weird thing where he could appeal and then he could decide. So after all of this stuff with a judge and everything, he could just step in and go, well, we don't think it's enough, so it's a full year or it's 8 games or something along those lines.
He can designate someone else if he decides to make that decision.
But still, is he going to designate somebody who is probably going to rule? Yeah, it doesn't make – that's why I started this off by saying the NFL has officially made so many billions of dollars that they've lost the thread. It's an absurd kind of thing that's going on. But I think today is the last day they can appeal, and I think they're just looking to see what is the backlash. You're getting a little bit of backlash, but for some reason, this story, which you would think had everything, these were middle-class women, entrepreneurs, most of them who have their own businesses, most of them minorities, females, who were victimized here or alleged victimization here. He is a powerful multi-million dollar top level, top 5 quarterback in the biggest league on earth. And you would think, given the metrics for what makes a national story, that this would have been huge. But for some reason, there is no interest on a national level at news desk in editorial rooms. And there never has been for this story. So it's a possibility. I think the NFL is just going to look around and go, you know what? This is going to go away. But if he ends up in the Super Bowl, see, that's the thing is they have a good team and he's a great quarterback. That is not going to look good.
No,
I feel like
if he's the face of the AFC champion in the Super Bowl. Yes.
Is there something obviously the NFL isn't going to do as much as we would like because of money, right? Like, he already has a contract. They'd have to continue to pay him out of the contract?
No. The NFL is a collection of 32 billionaires who own a team. That's what it is.
I know.
And those billionaires...
And a man in the middle.
Well, those billionaires decide who the commissioner is going to be. The commissioner has a certain length of time. I don't know how much left on his contract. So they recognize... So it is the commissioner's job to step in and say, no, it doesn't matter. He can't play for a year, and then Cleveland would just have to deal with it. He's their player. He wouldn't get paid. If you're not on the field, you can't get paid. So he can force that on Cleveland.
Already he's not being paid. For the six-game suspension, it's without pay.
It's
correct?
Nothing, though.
But like Eric said, they made it so his salary was low.
They made the first year of his salary the lowest possible.
What is their motivation to do that? Because
motivation was they wanted to protect him because they wanted him to sign with them when a lot of teams wanted him. So they put that in there to say, look, even if you get a year suspension, you're still going to make almost all of the money that we're guaranteeing for you.
I guess game-wise, that would make sense, because then if they cut him loose because of this behavior...
They can't cut him loose. They can't cut him loose. That's not even part of it. They just signed him. They signed
that's
him
what I'm saying, because he's under contract, right?
No. They created this contract after the scandal broke.
Oh.
So it's set up to protect him because of the scandal.
Right, and that's why I thought it would become a national story, because you've got multimillionaire, you got billionaires willing to pay this guy the most money guaranteed ever in the 100-year history of the league, and that happened even though one of these billionaires, or all the billionaires, knew the charges against him. One was willing to still make him the richest player of all time.
And why are they doing that?
Because they want to win a Super Bowl, and the Cleveland Browns are one of the few teams. They're one of the few teams that have never been to a Super Bowl, and they've been in the NFL since
long.
If
they increase the penalty and suspend him for a year, he will still play because he will sue, and it'll go to federal court,
right?
And then it'll take 5 months.
But hold on.
That is a good point. If he sues, then he gets to play until it goes to court.
Ew,
but that pushes him to the next year. And then if he gets to the next year where he's making more money and then he's suspended,
he's still, you have to remember this. All right. You look at the best quarterbacks in the league that are paid the most. Some quarterbacks are great, aren't paid the most. But you go with like Mahomes and Josh Allen. Basically, those two guys have been guaranteed $150 million. Deshaun Watson has been guaranteed, I think, $236 million. So if you take 1 year out of there, he's still guaranteed well over $200 million. And that contract was written in the middle of the scandal with the ownership of the Browns knowing all the cloud that was over him. That's why I don't understand how this didn't become a national story. It's got everything. Powerful man, rich man, billionaires paying multimillionaires.
Right, only
victims,
caring about money.
The victims are working class women. Sex is involved.
Massages.
I mean, when you get into
oils.
He used to. He says that a lot of these people say that he liked what he called the. I don't know, the cradle baby kind of thing. It's like when you know how babies will grab their feet with their hands?
Yeah.
That's what he would do, and he would tell them to massage, you know, the area between the place and the place.
Oh, he's very flexible. I can't even touch my toes.
Well, he's a quarterback, for
Robert Kraft went into a massage parlor, and that made national news.
Some people think, because the PA, now the NFL PA, their job, whether they like it or not, is to stand up for the rights of the player. So some thinking is that the billionaires want to kind of back off on this because the players are saying, if you look in the lettering of the contract, the CBA, the contract between the players and the NFL, owners have to be held to the same standards as players. So there's some thought that the billionaires would like to back off and keep this out of court because of discovery, because they might come in. They might come in and go say,
now.
I'm just saying that you would
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying add that to the list of the things
the
story has.
We need
a Netflix special.
Look at what are called the Commanders now. The Washington football team.
Oh, Dan Snyder.
I mean, all kinds of stuff going on that they do not want out.
The cheerleaders.
Hate the world.
Well, listen.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons to hate the world, but even this.
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't care how bad the NFL is. My team, the Bills, have never had a chance like this, so I'm watching. That's what I'm saying, is they've got us. They've got us. And it's not really on them. They're doing their thing the way that they're doing their thing. If there was more backlash, there would be more punishment. There isn't more backlash because it never became a national story. And I've had trouble figuring out exactly why it's not a national story. Like, it has sex and money and power and privilege and everything. And In editorial newsrooms all over this nation, it's been a big old yawn. I can't quite figure it out. I have to give away tickets here. Greg, are you going to stick around with us? You seem kind of lonely, like you need friends.
I'll stick around.
Are you lonely? You got nothing to do?
It's finally catching up. I loved isolation before, but now, you know, I realize I'm getting older and time's ticking.
So you told me to be here, and now...
No, Paul Stanley will be joining us. We can all get together as friends.
I like Greg and everything, as long as he doesn't, you know, attack me.
Is it true that KISS just added like 100 new dates to their...
100 more dates to the tour,
never-ending farewell tour. And this
100
is your
more dates.
100 more dates.
People can't stop rocking to KISS.
100 more
dates. Are
there
even 100 cities in the world?
Yes.
I don't know.
You know, they can't, you cannot take this money with you. You recognize that.
That's okay. I have children.
Okay. All right.
And they can have it.
How much more money are they going to make 100 more dates?
Lots.
Win two tickets to see the Georgia Jam. You guys are not involved in this, right?
Oh, no, we're not playing Georgia.
No, these are real rock and roll bands. Win two tickets to see,
the
Georgia Jam at Gas South Arena on August 27th. Jefferson Starship, Driving and Crying, Mother's Finest, and more. Be caller number 10 to 404-872-0750. Tickets on sale right now at AXS.com. Hour 3 of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. Why? Because I said so.
That's a good reason.
It was good enough for my mother. That's what she would say to me quite often. If I would question anything. Because I said so.
That wasn't good enough for me.
Do as I say, not as I do. That was another one I got from my mother quite a bit growing up. Don't use me as an example. Just do the right thing.
Which I tell my kids, because I'm the adult.
There you go. Basically the same thing. That's because I said so in so many words.
Well, Mom, I'm not allowed to be on my iPad, but you're allowed to have your phone. It's like, Yeah.
Because
That's what sets the tone, though. When you're a kid and people say, because I'm the adult, you think, oh, adults know everything. And then you become an adult yourself. And you're like, what? I'm an imposter.
Yeah.
I'm not an adult. I don't know anything.
That is true. You grow up believing that adults know everything. And then you become an adult and you think, I'm not a very good one because I don't know everything.
It's constantly
a difficult thing. Haven't you come to terms with your adulthood yet? I didn't until 37 or 38, but maybe 42 or 43.
I've moved. 46, I've moved 47. Into
somewhere
it.
There. Somewhere
52,
there.
53. Somewhere.
In the workplace.
Yeah.
It seems to have shifted quickly, but you know, you're the youngest. You're the younger.
Yeah.
Person in the workplace, and then suddenly it's like, oh no, I'm the older guy in the workplace.
Has somebody tossed a sir at you or anything like that? Where you go.
There's a kid at my bar that I go to.
My
and
bar.
He always, well,
there's
my
a problem.
Her bar.
My bar. Okay,
it's
go
the one
ahead.
I go to.
Norm. Autumn.
Hey, Autumn. What's that? Hey, Autumn.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he works there and he calls me ma'am. And I'm like, Pat, if you continue to call me ma'am, I'm going to kick your.
I'm at the point where if I walk into the office and people who are on my team that I'm their manager. They're there working that day. Their posture changes. Like they sit up straight.
Yeah.
I think it's funny to watch.
Oh, I'm that
because
guy
Because I
now.
Don't care that much. All I care about is, are you doing your job, doing it well?
Yeah.
Great. Fine. You
but
don't
it does
need
pretend to,
sit. To
work.
It does dawn on you that I'm that guy now.
Yes.
And that's kind of weird.
In. People
Surreal.
Want to impress me.
So I want to have some fun here. We got Paul Stanley coming in. But I do have this, Greg, all of you, moral hazard. Familiar with the term moral hazard?
Didn't he used to be a country singer?
Yeah.
Yes, moral hazard. I believe he was a friend of Johnny Cash.
He helped him get out of jail.
But there's a concept as well, moral hazard. And I talk about this a lot. A lot of what's going on now with the way the economy is, the way we can't get enough people to staff enough positions. Whenever you feel like, you know, there's some sort of daddy war bucks. Warbox sounds like a place you buy shoes. Yeah. Daddy Warbucks. I got these at Warbox. Yeah, it's fantastic. Great shoe.
The industrial
Mervin's out of business.
The concept, moral hazard, here's the definition I found online. Lack of incentive to guard against risk where one is protected from its consequences. And I've been warning about this for a while. So this is actually a headline from the USA Today.
first color paper. Pictures are in color. It's cool, right?
That is true. Wow.
Yeah,
it is
awesome.
True. And finally, eventually, the Wall Street Journal had to catch up.
It was only a quarter when it came out.
Yeah, okay. The world moves on.
Extra, extra.
You could take them all, though. That machine, you put the one quarter in, you open the door, and you grab six.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then you could sell them.
Yeah, what do you do with them?
35 cents.
No, you give them to people who are unhoused. Here you go.
For blankets.
Keep up on life.
Yeah, really. What
I use them as blinds on my windows.
That's the best. That's the
give
best
it to use. The unhoused. Here's all the things you can't do. Here's all the things we're doing that you can't be a part of. Here's the headline. Student loan pause set to lift in September.
Oh.
Student loan pause set to lift in September. Should borrowers repay or wait for forgiveness? And I am Mr. OG, old man, old school, old everything, because I look at this and say, well, I don't care what the landscape is. You should repay it because you signed your name on a dotted line on a contract that you took the money. And unless you were lied to in the contract and you didn't get the money that was said, but if everything is going the way that it was set up to go and you signed the contract, the way that I think and the way that I live is, well, I don't care what Congress is going to do. I signed a contract, therefore I'm going to live up to that contract. And if I sign a contract when I'm young that I realize was not a very good contract, I'm going to pay it. I'm going to learn from that experience, and I'm going to spend more time looking at the contracts that I sign in the future. So actually, it turns out that it made me better. It made me smarter. It made me sharper. I cannot relate to the idea that you signed a contract, you got money, you were going to pay it back at X number of interest, and you just sit back and wait because maybe the government's going to come to the rescue and cancel it all. That's how out of it I am. Because I know 99% of the people listening to me are like, what, are you crazy?
I don't think you think it's that many people who feel that way.
But I ran this by my son, who's a libertarian. And he's like, well, I'm going to wait. I'm like, you're a libertarian. If I've
well,
lost
you. Still have to pay it back, right? Like the automatic
No, they're waiting.
On the 31st
no.
of August.
No, yeah, but what they're waiting for is that the president will look at November and think, I need a boost.
Right.
So I will forgive.
Well, then pay it for a few months.
Up to $10,000, I think, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Pay it
well,
for
but
a
why?
Few
but
months,
why?
And then
the
if you get
is,
that.
Question is, why do you deserve that? Nobody ever looks at it that way. Why do you deserve to have $10,000 that you
maybe, I don't think
pay?
A lot of people think they deserve it. Some people do surely yeah. think they deserve it. But there's others like, yeah, okay, this is crazy,
right.
but I'll take it. Why
that's
wouldn't you
how
take
I feel.
It?
Like, of course, I'm going to continue to pay it back if I have to keep paying it back. But if they forgive it, then I'm like, cool.
But
thanks.
See, that's you're being incentivized the next time you go vote to vote for people who will forgive more of this kind of stuff.
I mean, I'm sure that would be the motivation for some. For me,
yeah.
I would not do it just to get
I'd just
money.
Be happy like Autumn to have the hey, all right, fine.
Yeah, thanks.
And then
I'm not above
and
it.
Then, and then,
I'd vote for that person.
And then you're more
got no shame.
But also remember this, you're not gonna learn your lesson and you're more likely to sign bad contracts in the future.
Well, speaking
well,
of those, remember the
old,
house that mortgage I got for that house I bought in Cabbagetown. I should have never gotten that thing because I had right. zero savings. I was making $38,000 a year. The house was $192,500, which was a very good deal, actually, because those are
they're like
those
a half a mil
prices,
now.
Yeah, have gone way up. But I got one of those 80-20 mortgages that tanked the economy in 2008. And people ask, why aren't you angry? It's like, no, yeah, that was predatory lending on their part. But I was the one who decided to do it because I wanted the house.
Right.
So I made the payments and then I sold it
and then
for
you
not
are,
much
you
money.
Are,
and then the person who got it's going to make a lot now.
You are now smarter for that experience. You're smarter in the future when you buy your next home, when you sign your next contract. I often said this, if human beings were somehow magically protected from falling rain, there would never have been any incentive to learn how to build a house. It is dealing with tough things in life that force you to be creative and figure out how to make this work, and that makes you a smarter, better person. If you always think that someone's going to be out there who's going to save you in the end, then your habits are never going to sharpen. Because you're always going to know. You forgive somebody's loan who's 26 or 27 years old, they're going to have that in the back of their head as they go into their 30s, into their 40s, as they enter into different agreements. Is, well, ultimately, in the end, I don't have to pay. It used to be, we don't have debtor's prisons, so you just have to put up with having really bad credit for 7 years or something. But now, we're going to jump over that.
They'll start thinking they're a savings and loan, and the government's just going to bail out everything that they've done.
Well, why wouldn't they believe that? Why wouldn't they believe that? That's how the system is set up now.
I'm kind of saying that if we can do it for savings and loans, we can do it for
people. I see. Yeah, okay. Well, this is like a 1980s reference.
Okay, Enron.
Savings and loans.
Housing, banks.
Enron wasn't saved. Enron.
Airlines.
Enron was.
Ford.
Enron, the guy killed himself. Hold on. Enron, the guy killed himself.
Well, justifiably.
Let me put it this way. If Enron had been a government program put into place in the 60s, it would still be going today.
That's true.
They are in the business of making people laugh, and I love that.
The Von Hessler Doctrine. This hour is sponsored by Hoffman Financial on 95.5 WSB.
Congratulations to Kevin Freeman of Snellville. Won two tickets to see the Georgia Jam at Gas South Arena on August 27th. Tickets are on sale right now at AXS.com. Jefferson Starship, Driving and Crying, Mother's Finest, and more.
Sounds fun.
We have Greg Russ here. Paul Stanley's looking to get in. We still have to, we still have to the top of the hour.
Uh-huh.
I want to say one thing based on looking over the news aggregating current events. This is something I've told people in my life. I think the worst thing that can happen to you is that somebody names you the executor of their estate after they die. I do not want that responsibility. I do not want that role. Because what happens is, like, they changed their will 5 years ago, right? And all the kids show up. Then they name you the executor, and they open up a, I want to give all of my money to Eric Von Hessler. Mm-hmm. The executor. And then it's just, everybody hates you. So, remember Naomi Judd, unfortunately, took her own life a few months ago. And she changed her will back in 2017. And she made her husband the executor. And she cut all of her kids out of it.
Wow.
So now he's got, like, I don't know if that was her decision completely. Now, her kids are pretty successful. So it's not like they're not doing, I mean, Winona and Ashley Judd are successful in their own right. She has worth $25 million, though. But isn't that the worst place to be? Hey, you know what? She was my friend. She asked me to be the executor, and then you open it up in front of the kids. All the money goes to this guy.
Or a dog.
Or something like that. Yeah. I just don't. Well, the dog, though, something like that, you can just go, okay, I don't have a part of this. I stepped in. It's my job to make sure the dog gets everything. That's it. But what is more uncomfortable, especially if you're new to the scene? Like, I don't know how long they were married.
Is her husband, he's getting all the money?
He's in charge of all the money.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so he could say that, okay, you can have some.
Once the money's his, he can do whatever he wants, right? But that would be just awkward as hell. Okay, open it up. Okay. It turns out you guys get nothing and I get everything.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Mm-hmm. Oopsie.
Hey. Are there signs that he's going to keep it?
Well, I think that I don't know how deep it is, and I don't know enough of the story. I don't know if they were married for 30 years or 10. I don't know if he's new on the scene.
Are they upset? Have we had any?
It says here, Winona Judd reportedly upset, that's the exact word, with her mother Naomi's decision on the $25 million will.
Man.
So I'm putting it out there. If you're thinking about having me as executor, don't do it. I don't want it.
I made Paul Chris the executor of mine. Or Peter Chris, I'm sorry.
Paul Chris. Are you jet-lagged, Paul Stanley?
I'm a little sleepy, yeah. It was raining. There was turbulence. I don't like that.
Well,
100 shows you still have ahead of you.
You got 100 new shows. 100 new shows.
We get a week off.
Here, this will be funny. We only have about a minute or so before we take another break, so let's just go ahead and do this.
Okay. Hi, it's Paul Stanley, and this is Paul Stanley Presents, the latest in music and entertainment news, only on the Von Hessler Doctrine.
She was married to her second husband since 1989.
Okay, so he's been on, at least he's been there.
Yeah.
And maybe he has a relationship with the kids, and maybe she thought, you know, he'll do what's right. But an awful lot of times what happens when it goes the other way, and it's the old man, and then he meets, some fine young lady.
Like Anna Nicole
Smith.
In his
89th year.
She got that old man's money.
And by the way.
Not in the end.
I'm all for it, actually. Who else was giving him lap dances at 90?
Could have
broken
his hip.
You know, she actually brought some... I'm sure his wife was like, I'm so tired of that old billionaire.
She had enough money of her own anyhow.
That's right.
He wasn't married.
Let's
he
not,
was single.
No, but it was the kids at the time.
The kid, yeah, the sons got really mad.
But when I saw that whole thing, I was thinking, you know what? Probably, maybe you weren't very close. You were just waiting for the old man to die so you'd get his money, and he knew that. And she came along, bit of a bimbo, bit of an airhead, beautiful body. You know, maybe it was worth it. Maybe she brought some sunshine and joy. You ever see that guy toward the end?
Yeah.
He only looked happy when they were together.
Captain Liver Spots.
Otherwise, he looked like a dead man already.
That was her term of endearment for him.
Captain Liver Spots.
Captain Liver Spots. And she made him smile. And isn't that enough?
That hurt his face.
Did he still have teeth when he smiled?
No, it was terrible.
He had those big yellow.
He didn't have the ability to have sex or anything. But if she made him feel like a real man when he was 90 years old, maybe she deserved every penny. All right, Paul Stanley, we're going to get to your stories.
Okay.
When we get back. Greg, you coming back?
Yeah, just to spite Paul.
Oh, great.
Hey, Paul Stanley must be in. Well, first I have an announcement, Paul Stanley.
Okay.
Missed any of today's show? Don't worry. You can stream or download the full Doctrine podcast on WSBRadio.com, the WSB Radio app, or any of your favorite podcast providers. It's all brought to you by our friends at Findlay Roofing. Before we get to Paul here, that Elizabeth Hasselbeck I see on the monitor, she's back in the view.
Still looking good.
Yes, yeah, a tasteful face work, I would say. Maybe it's just, I don't really know what I'm looking at there.
I think it's contouring.
Maybe some contouring, maybe just some Botox.
You think every woman has had Botox?
Well, I don't. She's not.
I've had Botox.
I know that you're a woman that I do know has had Botox and some other things done.
I've been with more women than you've ever looked at.
I understand that, but you do get made up much like a woman. And Paul Stanley, I think we can agree that Hasselbeck's, didn't they hate her when she was on The View?
She was the conservative,
yeah,
I guess.
She's come back, yeah.
But she's hot.
Out on Survivor.
She's no Anna Navarro, but.
She is what she is, and that is pretty dang good looking, but. I think I saw Jane. She doesn't look like she's had a face job, like the face job.
Like Whoopi?
Yeah.
Facelift?
A facelift. You know what I'm talking about.
Face
job. She had a job on her face. A face job.
Now, look, I can see she has the power vein, which is a telltale sign.
I have that,
sign.
Too.
Yeah,
you do, well, and that's a telltale sign of a lot of Botox in the forehead.
Okay, that's not a face job, though. That's not a face
job. No. The face job you can tell. Face job you can always see around their ears, because that's where the scar
is. Oh, really?
Like what do they do? They cut out a chunk of skin, and then they pull the rest
up
and they stitch it together.
It's almost like a circumcision, really. It's the same thing, right? It's basically a face circumcision. You're removing a flap of skin, and then you're pulling the rest.
They pull it from the back, like a ponytail.
Well, I can't say I've ever...
You ever pull a balloon over your face?
Yes, I have.
A deflated balloon?
I have.
That's what it's like.
Dangerous.
It is dangerous.
Well, not if you're an adult.
Kids, don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, little
babies.
Don't
listen to that. He's a rock and roller. Don't listen to him.
I've tempted fate a long time.
Don't do that.
And I've done face jobs.
I've never really understood what circumcision is, I don't think. But I thought it was the same thing.
Are you not circumcised?
I am. But
then how do you not know?
Because I wasn't there when it happened.
They cut the foreskin off.
I know, but how does it then it's everything's all attached afterward?
Well, they don't cut the tip off.
No, I get
that. You had an awful mother. How dare your mother make that decision for you? That was your decision.
I had no choice.
Well, if you think about it, really, it wasn't a decision that I could make. Because once you're grown up, you're not going to make that decision, are you?
No. I had a back alley circumcision.
We couldn't
afford it.
That's the problem.
So we had this discount mole.
That's the problem.
I cut off a mole by myself once with
scissors. That's not a good idea. That's not a good idea.
Yeah, it was more of a skin tag.
That's different.
I have a skin tag under my
toenail clippers.
Should I use that? It's in my underarm.
Floss. Get skinny dental floss and tie it off.
It takes too long. You got to sit there. You think about it. Then it has to rot off.
But like a hemorrhoid, right?
But this is a skin tag.
Take a few shots. You grab it. You sterilize the scissors in the stove. You cut.
No, 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 kids, no, kids, kids, no! Don't do this. Don't do any. Don't do any medical things at home. The Von Hessler doctrine says, kids, go to a dermatologist.
Go to a shaman
if you're gonna do. don't go to a shaman.
Take the myrrh.
Go to a dermatologist and find out what they think. Now, I have a skin tag under my underarm area there, my pit.
Under my
end. It's bothering you, right?
Well, it annoys me because for most of my life, it was plump. You know?
And ew, it's deflated.
It's deflated.
Nasty.
You know why? Because I think there's a nervous habit. I kind of always like tug on it a little bit. And now it's just like empty luggage. It's like there's nothing there. And I feel like
usually when you tug on something, it gets bigger.
Not this. It ended up losing its beautiful plumpness.
Wow, I'm used to that. I like deflation.
What, just in life all the way around?
Maybe you should have been in Kith.
Are you still having problems? Is this the best kept secret in your house?
Do you have wiener problems?
What's going on with you?
Oh, I can sometimes when I overthink.
Yeah, overthink. You're with one person. You're a one woman man now. You're not out there playing the field.
Sometimes at the start, it's like, yeah, I've been doing really well.
Yeah,
and then you feel like you have to keep that up.
Yeah, then you put up too much pressure on yourself.
Then there's too much pressure.
You know, it really is like stage fright. Because I remember when I first started doing stand up, when I was doing open mics in the '80s. If the first 2 minutes were really, really good, I would I'd be like, oh no, now I got to be this good for the rest of the time, and then.
That's why you exactly. Drink. Drink, drink, drink.
For everything.
And they don't care.
Sex, performance.
Exactly.
It's all a performance.
Removal.
By the way, you weren't looking at Elizabeth Hasselbeck's neck. That hasn't done... I mean, that is aged.
Okay. So then that means there was a face job.
Must be. Or the lighting.
No. They're just not getting the Botox in their neck.
Yeah, they're not
lighting. Can you get a neck job?
Well, you can get any job.
I can give you a neck job.
Their people are injecting Botox into their décolletage because that also
What's
gets
that?
Wrinkly.
All right, that is a fancy word, young lady.
Is that
why
a guy
don't you
carry your luggage?
Why don't you bet the is he next to the concierge? The décolletage.
You can speak to the concierge or the décolletage.
what is décolletage?
It's like
if you could say it on the radio, I never know with you.
It's your like your boobs what? When they're sticking up and they squish together.
Cleavage.
Your chest.
Cleavage.
Yeah, your cleavage.
That's
Thank
the
you.
Décolletage?
I don't need a fancy
That's
word.
Décolletage.
Let's call it cleavage.
How about that? What are you all of a sudden?
Makes me think of a cleaver, though.
Are you going to Yale University all of a sudden?
Oh, sorry for using a word that exists.
Oh, décolletage. Everybody knows that.
People
do.
Doctors.
I found
if you're a
word.
Woman and you use any lotion that is made for like your skin
for your
on
boobs.
Your face and your chest, it says like absorb, you know, in upward motions, you know, on your face and décolletage.
I like it. It's classy.
It is classy. Word. Hey, I saw a word. I saw a word. A new
you
word.
Did?
Is this word of the day or Paul Stanley?
I didn't know. Hey, Paul Stanley, we're learning together here.
I don't need to learn.
Funambulist.
Oh, that's what you call if you break your leg.
Funambulist.
What is
if you've died and broken your leg and you want to get your leg fixed before
it's
they bury
it's a one-stop shop.
You say you call a funambulist if you get hurt.
It's a hearse with paddles in it in case you're not dead.
Yeah, it's a hearse with the lights at the top. Woo!
Without Google, does anybody know? It's interesting. It's a funambulist.
Spell
it's
it.
It's a person?
Yes, it is a person.
An occupation.
I know because you've looked it up.
But I'm helping them, yes.
Does that have anything to do with Batgirl?
A funambulist is a tightrope walker.
Oh.
Wow, cool.
Why don't they just say tightrope?
I don't know. Why wouldn't you just say tightrope walker?
Melinda.
Uh-oh.
That's many more syllables.
All right, Paul Stanley, when we get back, we're going to talk entertainment stories and we're going to talk Batgirl. And that's a promise.
Okay.
All right, Paul Stanley, you've been here for an hour. Are you going to give us an entertainment story?
Yes, but first I'm going to correct you on something you said earlier.
Yes.
You said that Eastern Europe is starting to flare up between...
I said the Yugoslavia, used to be Yugoslavia.
You said Bosnians and Serbs. It's not Bosnians and Serbs. It's Kosovo.
I stand corrected.
Which ought to be called Clintonstan.
Oh, okay, listen, Paul Stanley. We don't need to get inside of your personal politics. You're here... As a rock and roller who's about to retire.
Not yet.
With only 100 more shows added to your latest farewell tour.
Yes.
To do some entertainment news.
Okay, here's the story about entertainment. DC, which is not Marvel, but they're the people who own Batman, Superman,
Wonder
Woman. What
does DC stand for?
Detective Comics.
Okay, good.
Because Batman was once a detective.
I gotcha.
Okay, anyhow. Mm-hmm. They made a $100 million movie called Batgirl, and after the first test screenings, they've just canned it and put it on a shelf, and you'll never see it.
$100 million they put into, this is Warner Brothers?
Batgirl.
Put into this
was
movie,
Batgirl.
Was
this the one Batgirl? That Keaton was going to come back?
Yes, he was going to be Batman again.
So this footage must exist. So this headline says... quote-unquote irredeemable Batgirl movie gets shelved by Warner Brothers. Despite $70 million price tag, people behind the scenes are saying no. They put in at least $100 million in this movie.
I'll tell you.
They've shown it to a couple different test audiences, and now they just said this can't be fixed, and they're just going to put it on the shelf.
Can I tell you something?
Not even in streaming? Not even throw it out there?
It's garbage.
So they say it will hurt the franchise so much, the Batman universe so much, it's best just to eat this $100 million.
It's because, if you remember the 60s show, which is very campy and silly.
That Batgirl who was Commissioner Gordon's daughter.
Right, Yvonne Craig.
Now, does she and Bruce Wayne have any kind of thing? No, that was Catwoman.
I don't know. Bruce
I always kind of got the feeling like she was almost like a teenager.
Bruce got around.
Yeah, but...
But Yvonne Craig...
Isn't she Alfred's niece?
No, she's Commissioner Gordon's daughter. And she wore a skirt, a sexy yellow skirt, and she was very busty. Mm-hmm. Now, this lady's wearing a leather outfit, and she's not busty. You want people to go see Batgirl, make her look like Batgirl.
Well, I hear this is my feeling is, if you look at so many, like, you remember Batwoman on CW? Unwatchable. Somehow it made it through three seasons. And, I mean, I'm telling you, this was the worst writing in the history of writing.
Is it worse than Ms. Marvel?
Well, I haven't watched Ms. Marvel, because like everyone else, no one's watching it. So my guess is...
It's for tweens.
I know, but they
Ms. Marvel.
I hate to be the person saying this, because... talk show host on the radio, but the wokeness in this stuff is so front and center. It's not on the edges where, if it's going to be there, where it belongs. It's so front and center. So my guess is, before they even got to a plot, it was about empowerment and what she's going to be and what she's going to. And meanwhile, what you forget is story. Mm. What you forget is I'm bored. What you forget is, if you bore the hell out of me, I'm not going to be inspired by your empowered superhero. First, you have to entertain me. Yes?
There's a need for the creators to pat themselves on the back, it feels, because you could just present these things as is.
Mm-hmm. As long as they move the plot forward, that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, let the audience watch it for what it is, and if someone's a Muslim like Ms. Marvel, great.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. Ms. Marvel is the only time I hear people talking about it is on TV or on
news aggregators.
And nobody talks about this, but except the media keeps pumping it up. Nobody's watching. It's not even in the top 10 of streaming shows that are being watched on Disney Plus.
It can't make the top 10. There's so much. The superhero stuff
has just gotten absurd, but I was never on board. I've always only been interested in Batman, and that's it. I'm not into all the other stuff.
You don't like Batgirl at all?
No, if it's part of the Batman universe, the busty, I get it, but if it's in the Batman universe, I'm probably interested. You can get me in.
Do you like the Joker?
I appreciated the Joker. I didn't like it as much as everybody else did.
The King of Taxi Drivers?
Yeah, I didn't. Look, don't get me going on that. And then Greg and I had an
argument. Did you like the Snyder Cut?
I did. Wow, that was great. It's like watching a painting move.
I don't know about Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
And so I was really picturing that Ms. Maisel or whatever the whole time we were talking about.
She's a 50s Jewish comedian girl who fights crime dressed as
Marvel. Nobody's watching this show, but it's always being pumped up as if it's the greatest thing in the world, but nobody's watching it. 2.5 million people was the audience for Loki when it was on Disney Plus. And they can't even get a million from Ms. Marvel, but you can't go through a news aggregator without seeing stories about how wonderful it is, but people aren't watching it. And my guess is, I haven't seen Ms. Marvel, is the woke stuff is front and center. Give me a story, man. You give me a good story, and or why would you even need all that much that is even woke? Just think about it. If it's Batgirl and ultimately she wins the day, that in and of itself says empowerment, right?
Again, just show it.
Yeah.
Just show things happening with a good story and great.
So that's my guess. Things. I don't really know. You know, this Warner Brothers has been taken over and some people are stepping in. So there's new people, new executives, and they didn't green light this stuff. Same thing going on with CNN, where this guy is coming in and going, look, we're going to change things. Like he canceled CNN Plus a month after it went online or something. So they're not afraid to come in and change things around. And that's my guess. My guess is the reason Batgirl stinks is because they put all the woke and empowerment before story. I'm not arguing that you can't have it in there, But if your story has to be first, you have to entertain people first, especially in a caped crusader movie or television show. I mean, go find the old Batwomans. They're so bad that you may be able to enjoy them simply to see the worst writing since the invention of the pencil. It's official now. They looked at it.
Yeah.
It's the worst writing since the invention of the pencil.
That's bad. That means it's terrible.
So $100 million they're going to eat. And Michael Keaton, we don't get to see him come back and do a superhero movie. It's a shame.
Maybe he'll make Birdman 2.
Now, that was a fine, fine film.
Yes, it was.
Except this time, it sets the record for cuts. Birdman 1 looked like a continuous take, and this one sets the record for cuts in a movie.
Constant cutting.
It beats that Queen movie that had 1.5 million cuts.
I still haven't seen the Queen movie. There's still more for me to experience in this life, but we're done for today. You hear that music? You know what that means on a radio show?
No.
That means they're playing us out, Paul Stanley.
Bye.
The show is over for today. Here's the good news for you, at least. I'm contractually obligated to come back and do another one of these big radio shows tomorrow morning. You're all invited to join us, but until then, continue on your journey. Do not piss off the genie.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.